All right, Genesis 24 tonight. It is a long chapter. It has 67 verses in it. And we're going to use this chapter to bring a little message. We can't finish our family series without including this. This message is on choosing a spouse. Choosing a spouse. Now, let me say to those of you that are haven't taken all the other messages to heart and a little unhappy, it's not choosing another spouse. If you have a spouse, this is not for you. This is just for information purposes. So let me tell you some things that are not taught in the Bible. Marriage in the Bible is not a contract between parents. Marriage in the Bible is not the sale of a daughter to a wealthy man. What we have in this chapter, strangely enough, is a third party and a single girl making an agreement on behalf of a man who's going to become husband to a girl he hasn't seen. Like, I mean, really predates the internet. So. But in this chapter, the girl chose of her own free will to marry who she wanted to. No chaperone dating, no testing the waters, no time of betrothal. They just decided on the right person. They got married. I'm not telling you that's how it's got to be done. I'm just telling you, be careful of people telling you how it has to be done. And when they say this is how it has to be done, they don't have any scripture to back that up. They've just got how they feel about it. And we try really to stay away from all of that, how you feel about it. Just a couple of comments here before we start in the chapter. Boys and girls, I wouldn't recommend driving a junk car and hoping it gets better. Usually a junk car only gets worse. So it's good to start out with a fine, excellent, limited edition, best vehicle you could ever drive and let it slowly wear out over time rather than buying a piece of junk and hoping for evolution. Well, if I marry him, I get better. Why would he get better? He's got you now. I'll marry her, she'll straighten up. Really? The wedding altar is a bad mission field. I'm going to marry this unsaved person and win them to the Lord. Listen, if you go to Africa and it doesn't work out, you can come home. If you marry an unsaved person that doesn't work out, you are home. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So, all right, Lord, help me tonight. Be a help to your people, all of these people that are hoping, praying, wishing, begging, pleading, offering sacrifices, putting out fleeces, all the things that people do who want to be married. I pray, God, you'd help us to have spiritual wisdom and understanding and make good choices in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis 24 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, and among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." This man wanted the best for his son. Yes, sir. And those in this man's circle of influence, he asked them to participate with him in helping him find the best possible marriage partner for his child. And he said, Abraham said to this servant, "We are surrounded by heathen. I don't want my son to marry one of these heathen. We on every hand we have people who could marry my son, who my son could marry, who might be glad to marry my son. But I don't care how far you have to travel. I don't care what you have to spend. I don't care how many light nights you have to spend out there on the road under the stars in your tent. Don't do anything that would put my son into a lifelong union with somebody who doesn't know our God. And that ought to be first and foremost in every parent's heart. It ought to be first and foremost in every single child's heart. If you want the that's the starting place. And he says, I don't want a Canaanite, cursed people, wicked people, evil practices, somebody that doesn't know God. And I would say this to you, whether you're the Isaac of the story or the Rebecca of the story, if you want the best, be the best. Some of you people are working on trying to find someone to marry that God will put it in somebody's heart to marry me, or God will turn somebody's heart so they'll marry me, and God give me the best wife I could ever have, give me the best husband I could ever have. Why would God give you the best girl he has if you're not the best boy he has? Why would God give you the best man that he has if you're not the best woman he has? Why would God risk messing up somebody's life to join them to you if you're not going to be a help and a blessing to them in their walk with the Lord? And I just think so many times young people start out, and especially as years go by, and maybe they want to get married, they haven't got married as fast as they want to, they start lowering that bar and lowering that standard. And I just tell you that God is watching, and God is observing, and God is hearing prayer, and God has your best interest at heart. And if you want God to give you a great man, be a great woman. If God wants to give you, you want God to give you a great woman, be a great man. Don't concentrate on getting a good partner. Concentrate on being a partner to whom God would give a good partner. And I believe that's biblical. I believe that's correct. And so don't even think about marrying a heathen. If you marry a tribe, listen now, I'm not the first person who said this, it's probably been said for centuries, but if you marry a child of the devil, you are going to have trouble with your father-in-law. Right. Why would you yoke up with somebody that's yoked up with Satan? Yeah. I wouldn't do that. So he says, go out there and find somebody, find one of our people. As much as possible, you ought to find somebody with the same beliefs and background. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You believe the Bible's the Word of God, you ought not marry somebody who thinks 25 different translations are one's as good as another and they don't read any of them. If you believe in separated living and righteous living, and you believe in dressing up for church and singing out of a hymn book, you ought not be recruiting a spouse at some liberal church that doesn't even open a Bible and sings the world's music. I think you ought to, as much as possible, if you ought to marry somebody, same beliefs. And same approach to life and same understanding. If you're zealous and somebody else is frivolous, you'll have trouble. You're going to have trouble. If your life revolves around church and their life revolves around everything but church, that's not going to work so well. And I know a lot of times people get tired of waiting and tired of looking, and our ponds are pretty small. I understand that. And everybody's fishing in the same pond. But for you to go to church that doesn't believe what you believe, to find a boy or a girl because you couldn't find one in church that believes like you, how's your prayer reading, Bible reading together going to go? How's your prayer time going to go? Who's going to decide where the kids go to church if you start having kids? So why saddle yourself with all that conflict? You got to have enough conflict without starting out on different footing. Okay, verse number 5, the Bible says, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware, thou bring not my son thither again. Were you unsaved? Are you saved now?
Yes, sir.
Why would you go back to the realm of the unsaved to find a partner for life?
Yeah.
Listen, don't let your choice of a partner or your prospective partner take you back to a place from which God has delivered you.
Amen.
You're out of the world now. You're in church. Don't go out in the world and get a spouse.
Yeah.
If you're separated from certain things in the world, why would you marry somebody that's not? Why go backward when God has brought you forward? Amen. Praise the Lord. But then here's what it says. He says, if she won't follow me, what do I do? Well, if you got to force the issue, forget it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You don't want to marry somebody you had to talk into marrying you.
Yeah.
You don't want to marry somebody you had to beg to marry you. All your life, you're going to, both of you are going to think, one of you is going to think, he never really wanted me anyway. She never really wanted me anyway. And the other person is going to think, what did I do this for? Why did I let him talk me into this?
Yeah.
Come on, the rest of your life is a long time.
Yeah.
You don't want to force somebody to marry you who doesn't think it's the greatest idea ever.
Yeah.
And if you got doubts, if you're second guessing the thing, right up until the time you say, I do,
Yep. You
can say, I don't.
Sure. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so if she won't follow, that's not the one. So what if she won't follow me? Well, this is a rebel generation. This is a nobody's going to tell me what to do generation. The first wedding I ever did, the only reason I did it is because the people getting married couldn't get a real preacher to do it. I'm just a young kid. I don't know what I'm doing. And they taught me this wedding, so we went to the rehearsal, and they said, I said, where's your ceremony? We don't have any ceremony. Where's your vows? We don't have any vows. We thought the preacher did that. So I had a book that they gave me when I went to Bible school, and it had wedding ceremonies in it. I said, and the woman said, well, just pick one. And so we're at the rehearsal. I said, do you promise to love her and, you know, all the things you say? And he said, oh yeah. And I said to her, okay, do you promise to love, honor, and obey? Absolutely not. She said, you take that word out of there. And I said, love? But it was that other four-letter word. So, boys, I'm just going to tell you something. You don't want to marry a girl who's not obedient to her father and her mother.
That's good preaching.
And you don't want to marry a girl who's not obedient to God. And you don't want to marry a girl that has controversy with her pastor every time he preaches something. Because you're going to be in a scrap from day one and it's not going to end.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
And you girls, you better be careful. I mean, boy, you know, he's a rebel. Well, that sounds good in the country songs and rock and roll songs. But if he's in rebellion against God, it's only God that told him stay with you. It's only God that told him to love you and nobody else. It's only God that told him to provide for you. The world didn't tell him that. So you think it's really, you know, you got that little rebel thing in your heart, but it hadn't come out yet. But you get your eye on a boy that's in rebellion against the preacher and in rebellion against the Bible and rebellion against his father. The only person you have to spend the rest of your life with is a rebel. Now, what's going to happen when he gets his eye on some other girl and the preacher says that's not right? He's going to rebel. That's what he always does. And the preacher shows him what the Bible says and he rebels. That's what he always does. Now, it won't be so much fun getting in a pickup truck with a rebel. Amen. So he said, here's test number one. Will she follow? And if she won't follow, Abraham said, leave her alone.
Yeah, you bet.
Leave her alone. Trying to help you. All right. So let's read on here. Now, verse number 7, the Lord God of heaven took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which he sware unto me, and that sware unto me, spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying unto thy seed, will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. If the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thine oath, only bring not my son thither again. You know what he said? My son is better off here single than back there with a wife. And he's better off here single than married to a girl that won't follow. Choose well. Don't lower your standard. My wife always tells these girls, any girls that ask her, she'll tell them the same thing. Don't settle. Don't marry a man you have to justify. Don't marry a boy you have to make excuses for. Just wait on the angel of the Lord. And the servant put his hand on the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. I remember that day in the office. I said, we about, you know, go to this co-pastor's side. I said, Brother Dave, put your hand under my thigh. And he said, no way. And I said, you got the job. That's a weird thing, man. You know what that is? That is, we're not going to act it out because I don't want to volunteer. And, that is both men being completely vulnerable to the other person. That's not the sermon for tonight. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. Now, well, the Lord is in this. You hear that? God is saying amen tonight. If you're not willing to load up everything you got and give it to her, amen. Just keep it to yourself in your apartment. Yeah. Amen. You know why he's taking all that stuff on those camels? So he can say to that girl, I'm going to give all this to you if you'll enter into this marriage agreement. And I wouldn't marry somebody that's holding out on me. I wouldn't marry somebody that wasn't willing to give me everything they had. Well, you know, what if I get ripped off? Well, you shouldn't marry somebody you think might rip you off. But you guys, you know, you get married and say, well, God, I'd give anything to have a wife. And then you get a wife and you won't give anything. I'd pay any price, Lord, if you'd just give me a wife. And then you gripe about what she costs. Amen. You want a girlfriend? You got to spend money. You want a wife? You got to spend a lot of money. You want a family? You got to spend more money than you've ever seen. And so he loaded it up, loaded up those camels, and away he went. And he made his camels, got this city Nahor, made his camels kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. I wouldn't leave God out of it. Amen. He prays before he ever talks to a girl.
Right. That's good.
He prays before he ever talks to her daddy.
That's good.
He's talking to God first. He's talking to God all the way. But he is saying, make this quick. Good speed. He said, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. It came to pass that damsel, to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed my master kindness. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for a girl that's working. He's looking for a girl that's doing something for her family. He's looking for a girl that's bearing a burden. He's looking for a girl that's carrying a load. He's looking for a girl that's not selfish. You know, there's a lot to do in life for a man. There's a lot to do in life for a woman. I wouldn't risk marrying somebody who hadn't been off the couch in the last 48 hours or 72 hours. There's a lot of lazy in our country.
Yes, sir.
It's bad enough to have to support it with tax money. You don't have to marry it.
Yep.
You don't want to marry it.
Yep.
I don't want somebody just goes to church. I want somebody that's working in the church. I don't want to just find somebody just has a family. I want to find somebody contributing to their family. You don't want to marry a girl who sits while mama does the laundry and mama does the ironing and mama does the cooking and mama does the cleaning and mom, what time when's supper ready? Why don't you get your lazy self up and make some?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah,
well, you know, if I ever get married, I'll get a job. Who would marry you, son? I don't want to marry somebody that's going to get a job one day. I want to marry somebody that's already rolling in the world of finance and income and career.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So did you do all that? I did all that. I sure did. I surely did. And God blessed me tremendously with a girl that wasn't lazy. She helped her mother and she helped her daddy and she helped her mother around the house. Her dad was a construction contractor. She went on the job, worked construction job with her dad. She didn't haul water. She hauled cement block and amen. It's a great thing because now stuff breaks around the house. Somebody knows how to fix it. Young man, I'm telling you something. You marry a lazy girl, you will regret it. Oh, you will regret it.
Yeah.
And young lady, you marry a boy can't hold a job. You marry a boy can't work.
Yeah.
You'll regret it.
Amen.
You will regret it. Amen. And I know this doesn't sound terribly spiritual. We'll get to the terribly spiritual part. But he didn't take a picture of Isaac with him. He took Isaac's property on camels. Because it doesn't matter how good looking he is. If he can't put a roof on your head and food on your table,
sure.
You're going to have a hard life.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I don't care how pretty she is. You're going to get tired of looking at her about 7:30 at night when there's no dinner. Come in, the house looks like some homeless camp, you know. She says, hi. A few months of that, you're going to forget all about pretty. Yeah, we're doing good tonight. We just stay with me. Stay with me. So he says, I'm looking for the girl that'll get a drink, offer me a drink and offer my camels a drink. And I just say, he didn't just pray to God for the right one. He prayed specifically. And how are you going to know if God's answering your prayer if your prayer is not specific enough for you to know it's God's answer? I mean, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do for God? Where do you want to be when you're 30 and 40 and you haven't thought about it? Well, what do you want a wife for? You don't even know where you're going. What do you want a husband for? You don't even have any direction. Find out what you want to do with your life. Find out what you want to do for God. And then start praying to God for somebody to help you do that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I saved 6 years before I got married. A pretty consistent prayer to God for a wife. For a wife that would help me do what God had given me to do. Preach the Word of God, teach the Bible, evangelize the world, center our life around church, and God, I didn't stop serving God to look for that woman. In the midst of serving God, He put her right in my path.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't say, God, I'll get back to you once I find a husband. I'll get back to you once I find a wife. Don't you want to find somebody right in the center of serving God and in the center of God's will instead of find somebody while you got God on hold? Amen. Amen. All right. So he prayed about character. God, I want a woman with character. She'll haul the pitcher for mama and she'll carry the load for a daddy. And when a stranger comes along and he needs drink, she won't just give him a drink. He'll give his beast of burdens a drink. That wasn't part of her job description. She went out of the way and did over and above to be a blessing to others. That's the person you're looking for. Now then, verse number 15, it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. Well, what a bonus! If you can get all that and pretty, whoo! Wow, it's the day of Pentecost. The showers of blessing are falling. I was talking to this fellow one time. You know, sometimes people try to get, I think you ought to be super, really spiritual. I think you ought to be really spiritual. But not to the point of being dumb. And so I'm sitting with this fella in the little shed we had out there where I made radio programs. And he said, I've met this girl and she believes right and she lives right. And she does right. He's going down all through this. And he gives all the checklist. He said, but I don't know if I should marry her or not. And I said, well, you hadn't mentioned something yet. I said, is she pretty? And he got all red in the face. And he said, I'm just trying to be spiritual. I said, you got to kiss her every morning. If it's been a good day, you got to kiss her every night. It's okay to want someone you're attracted to. Is that all right? I mean, I can hire somebody to clean the house and I go to a restaurant and get supper. But I can't just kiss anybody. You gotta have a license for that. Registered with the county. All right, so she is fair to look upon. And some of you guys need to quit shooting for gorgeous and settle for fair. How's she look? That fair. That's the King James Bible. Well, she was very fair. So like a C+. A virgin. Anybody in this generation know what that word means? She's a virgin. She's pure. She's clean. Now, if you're not, I'm not trying to bring you down. If you lived out in the world and sinned against God before you got married, you just got to live with that. Sometimes these guys, you know, they live 10, 15 years out in the world, and then they want God to give them a girl that's never set foot outside the church house. I don't know if that's reasonable expectation or not. But here you sit tonight. I'm not talking to the adults tonight. I'm talking to you young people. The best thing you could do is figure it all out after you get married.
Yeah, amen.
The best thing you could do is be scared on your honeymoon.
Amen.
Best thing you could do is just learn together what all the stuff's about that my dad. We never sat and talked. We never did the whole leave it to Beaver, Andy, and Opie thing. He went to work and I went to school and he came home, made sure I'd done what I was supposed to do. But anyway, we got in the car one time. I was about 14 years old. We got in the car. He said, we need to have a talk, son. I said, all right. We rode around the car in silence. Dad's got cancer or something. I don't know. Dad's leaving. He didn't say. And he said, there's something I really need to talk to you about. And we rode around the car for a little while longer. Then he parked the car. Son, a girl is as dangerous as a gun. Be careful. And we went home. No birds, no bees, just, you could die. Thanks, Dad. That was the talk. Anyway, you girls, it'd be really great if you never had to wonder if he'd rather be with all those other girls than with you. And young man, it'd be great if you never had to wonder if she'd rather man number 4 or man number 7 or man number 15 to you. It'd just be really great if you stood up here and I was leading you through your vows and you just trembling and shaking and just so nervous. And I like it when I see you may kiss the bride and they start doing it. Like, they need like a GPS to turn right, go straight. That's a blessing. Really is a blessing. But see, if the person you're interested in, if they're pure, it means they're obedient to God. Right. Yeah. It's not just about the physical thing. It means they're obedient to God. Amen. And it means they have self-discipline.
Yes, sir.
And it means they're not given over to the world's philosophy. It's big. Look, the whole world says, just do it.
Yep.
And only God and a handful of preachers say, don't do it.
Yeah.
And so it's a big thing.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about what diseases that boy's bringing into your marriage.
Sure. Yeah.
What defilement that girl's bringing into your marriage. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be honest with you. All right, verse 17, There are 67 verses in this chapter. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. She's kind. She's gracious. When she had done giving him drink, she's giving. She said, I will draw water for thy camels also. She goes over and above. Until they have done drinking. She didn't just do a little something so she could say she'd done it. She did it all the way till it was finished to the best it could be finished. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. She's not doing it begrudgingly. She's not dragging her feet. She doesn't have the slumped shoulder. I have to do this. How come I have to clean my room? And the man wondering at her held his peace. Wow. To wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's excited. It looks like this is the one. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? He gave her earrings. He gave her bracelets. Sir, young man, are you willing to do the things you don't care about in order to bring joy to the other? Now, I'm old enough to remember when earrings were for ladies. I'm old enough to remember when bracelets were for females. I'm an old man. But I just think there's some things that girls like that boys don't like. There's some things girls are interested in, boys aren't interested in. You want that girl? Show a little interest in what interests her. Put a little time, little energy, little heart, little moolah, little money into what makes her happy. What do you need earrings for? She likes them. What do you need bracelets for? She likes them. What do you need her for? Come on. Well, it got quiet right there. Every time we get around that money thing, Every time we get around that money thing, you buy a new app, no thought. You buy a new something or other for yourself and never count the cost. Spend some money on her.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Good preaching. Good preaching. All right, 23. Keep going. He said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. I want somebody that's not hiding their past. I want to know where somebody came from. A lot of people here, your daddy's not saved, your mother's not saved. But you don't want to tell me where... So this fellow one time, he came and he's going to get married. I was doing the wedding. They were in the church and we're sitting at this woman she just kind of showed up at church and she hadn't been there long and he fell for her. And they say head over heels. That doesn't make any sense to me. Your head's supposed to be over your heels. But anyway, he fell for her and they're going to get this whirlwind marriage, you know, and we're at the reception at the rehearsal dinner. And I said to her, so where are you from? She said, none of your business. I said, I'm just curious, you know, you just sort of showed up here at church. I said, where did you grow up? Where'd you go to school? You don't need to know that. That's what she told me. I told that fellow that night, I said, look, I'm just a young fellow. I was only, you know, mid-20s. I said, I'm just a young fellow. But why doesn't she want anybody to know where she came from, what she'd been doing? Well, I couldn't talk him out of it. He was in love, you know, and love's a powerful thing. So is lonely. Lonely's powerful. I've seen lonely make people do things they'd never do in other circumstances. Anyway, so he called me one night and he's sobbing. You got to come over here. I went over there. He had gone to work. When he came home from work, everything in that house was gone down to the curtains hanging on the windows. She cleaned that man out. He called the cops. Cops did an investigation. It was a career for her. She'd done it once. She'd done it twice. She'd done it three times. I'm just telling you. Why would you do more research before you bought a car than you do before you marry somebody?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the Carfax. I'm going to see if this car has been in a wreck. Why don't you find out if that girl's been in a wreck?
Right.
I'm going to see if there's something wrong under the hood. Why don't you find out if there's something wrong in his heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Better write that down. All right, so she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender, and you sure, if you can marry a girl with provender, that's the way to go. And room to lodge in, the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren, the damsel Ram, and told them of her mother's house these things. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't leave out prayer. He prayed before he went. He prayed when he got there. Don't stop praying when you start dating. Don't stop praying when you start courting. Don't stop praying when you get, I got her, Lord. Thank you. You better keep praying all the way through that thing. And notice what I said earlier. I being in the way the Lord led me. You ought not to get out of the way to find a spouse. Stay in the way. Okay. So 29, Rebecca had a brother. His name was Laban. We'll find out more about that fella later in the book. Laban ran out unto the man under the well. It came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You say, well, that's kind of materialistic. That's kind of carnal. Sir, why would you give your daughter to a man who can't take care of her? You're supposed to know more about life than she does. You're supposed to know more about men than she does. You see some fellow come along courting your daughter and want your daughter's hand, and you look, and he can't even afford share an apartment with three other guys. No, I don't think, you know, I just think spiritual things are all that matter. You want when she comes home. You want when they're in the poorhouse. You want the best for your daughter?
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
Check the accounts. Amen. Check the credit card debt.
Amen. Amen.
Check the truck payment, the car payment. You know, life's hard.
Sure.
You marry somebody 22 years old with $22,000 in credit card debt? It's going to be a lot harder. Going to get hard fast. You say money isn't everything. God's everything. God's not everything. He's the most important thing. In all things, He ought to have preeminence. But God sure put a lot in this Bible about money. Go down there to Winn-Dixie or Publix or Aldi or Walmart or wherever you get your groceries. And you put all the stuff in the line, and they run it all through, and they say it'll be $142. You say, we're in love. You can't buy groceries with love. You got to have money to buy groceries. Yeah, amen. That's good preaching, Brother James. Huh? Everybody's kind of fading out on you, but you just keep going. Yes, sir, Lord, I will. And so in 32, he says, the man came into his house and ungirded his camels. He gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the man and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. He said, speak on. Just a note there. We said this morning, if you can't grow up in a bad family, you can overcome that with the help of God. And you got a bad upbringing, you can overcome that by the help of the Lord. But it sure be nice if you boys could marry a girl who had polite, gracious parents.
Yeah.
And she's learned that way of behavior all her life.
Yeah.
It'd be really great if you girls could marry a boy whose father was respectful and gracious, and his grandfather was respectful and gracious, and it's just a part of their upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, some people got to overcome a life of dad's a drunk and grandpa's a drunk and uncle's a drunk, but that's tough. It's tough. Sure be nice if dad's a Christian, grandpa's a Christian. Brothers and sisters are Christians. Sure makes a lot better Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
So, all right, 34 through 48, our review. Whew. Okay, you can relax now. So skip down to verse number 49. He said, now if you will do kindly and truly, my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He consults her parents. His parents. You ought to consult your parents.
Yeah, sure.
You ought to consult your preacher.
Man, sure's good.
I was going to marry a fella, I'd ask his boss what kind of man he was.
Amen.
I would. A girl working a job somewhere before she gets married, I'd ask her employer what kind of girl she is. Come on, you're signing up for the next 60 years of your life. Pay attention. Be careful. All right, so Bible says in verse number 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad or good. God's in it. God's in it. Let's do it. Let's set a date. Let's get married. And behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. He didn't leave God out before he started. He didn't leave God out when he found her. And when he got the okay from her parents, he didn't leave God out of it.
Yes.
He's in a house of people he's never met, and he's down on his knees putting his face on the ground thanking the Lord. Boy, it'd be nice to marry somebody didn't care what anybody thought. He's just going to worship God and be true to God. And so, verse number 53, the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment to give them to Rebekah. More giving. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. Ooh, he really wants this girl. And they did eat and drink. And he and the men that were with him and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." You meet the right girl? Meet the right guy? Check all the boxes? Well, pull the trigger. Well, let's wait a while. How long? Till tomorrow morning. Pack your stuff. We're out of here. Telling you that's what he did. He didn't say, "Well, let's stay here 6 months and write letters back and forth and all that." He just, "Let's go." And so, yeah. All right. So, verse number 55. Her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go." And he said to them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel, inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, I will go. Now, the family started wavering. Why? Well, she's my little girl. Sure. I remember my daughter got married. It was like for weeks, I'd go in her room. We lived in the same house her whole life. I'd go in her room. I'd just sit there and cry. Just broke my heart. She was grown up and gone and married. But that's what God said people are supposed to do. Sure. Yes, sir. Arrow, children, happy as a man, have this quiver full. But then somebody preached here just a few weeks ago. Some point you take that arrow out of that quiver and you shoot it, just... Phew. See you on the holidays. See you at church. And young lady, seen this way too much. The Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife." If that boy can't break free of his mama, let him stay with his mama. That boy can't leave his daddy's house and establish his own house. Let him stay in his daddy's house. You don't want to marry a boy and his mother.
Right.
That's good. Thank you. The first marriage problem we had in this church, we started this church, this woman kept calling me. She said, "You got to talk to my husband. And so I went over there, talked to him. I said, what's the problem here? What's going on?" Well, they got married and he didn't like her cooking. So every day on the way home from work, he'd go by his mother's house and she'd feed him supper and then he'd go home. I said, "Boy, you got to grow up." Mike, I don't think anybody's hearing me, Jeremy. You guys got this plan, I got mama's couch and daddy's house and mama's cooking. I just bring a wife home. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of girls waiting to sign up for that. All right, so Bible says, Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now you say, jewelry, okay, earrings, bracelets, 10 camels? Well, 3 for shoes. 3 for clothes. Just saying. Two for pillows. Got to have the Tower of Babel on the bed, you know. All right, 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahai-roi, and for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. But I know what he was thinking about. Please, Lord, let him find a girl. Please, Lord, let her be at least fair. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. That's the only negative in the whole chapter. You really don't want to marry a girl that smokes. Well, will he like me? Will he think I'm pretty? She got so nervous she just took out a pack. And lighted off one of those camels, you know. Just the literal interpretation, you know. All right, so she got down off the beast. You like that one? But it's probably what happened, but the other one's more memorable. And she said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She's modest. She's not froward. She's not showy. She's not boastful. Now, we're not going to do the things some of the religions do and put a veil over your face, but it is interesting that tradition carries over. Most of the girls I see get married, they have a veil, and then the man lifts the veil, and the reason for the lifting of the veil is Rachel and Leah. You want to make sure it's not the sister who's not fair. She's just a little below fair. Where are we? And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. She became his wife. So they didn't have any private moments until after the marriage. They're together that night. They weren't together prior nights. Is that okay? Yep. Why does you know I'm going to have somebody around, you know, chaperone, all this kind of stuff? Well, what do you want to do that you wouldn't do with somebody there? So, well, we don't get any time to talk. Well, you can go in, you know, on the porch or the, you know, out back, and you know, you can talk, but we ain't going on a 3-day trip, and you'll stay here for the weekend. Amen. See if you like each other. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, and Isaac, she became his wife, and he loved her. Now, they hadn't spent years together. They didn't grow up together. They didn't go to school together. They weren't in church together. So love's a choice. I mean, it's great if God puts it in your heart. It's great if you see her and whoa. He said, "Well, I'm just not in love anymore." Well, get in love. Amen. You know, we used to love each other. Now we don't. Well, fix that. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It doesn't mean thou shalt be warm and fuzzy whenever somebody says God. Sure. It means you get your heart to the place where you love God. And so you love your husbands, love your wives. And there he loved her and was comforted after his mother's death. All right. So that's just a few little pointers from the scripture. And if you need some advice or some counsel, you're really blessed. You know, church full of people with great marriages. Church full of people happily married. Church full of people didn't start out right. Got saved. Started living by the Bible. Now it's right. You don't have to stumble around in the dark. You got good advice and good counsel and good help here. Brother Carter, how many years you two been married? 70 years. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's somebody you could ask. Bet they know more about marriage than most anybody else. Praise the Lord. Now, be fair. Ask them together. Don't get them in separate rooms. I'd say most every married man here, as far as I know, is happily married. Most every woman here, as far as I know, is saying she's happily married. But really, you're in a great situation, young people. You really are. You're in a great, great situation. And hope the Lord will help you. Amen. If He doesn't want you married, if you're better single, like we talked a few weeks ago, hope God will help you with that. But if God wants you married, I hope He'll direct you to the right person. I hope when He does, you'll follow the leading of the Lord, not the leading of your flesh.
Amen. 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 Yep. Yes, sir.
And if you just, I'll say this, and we'll be finished. If you marry the absolute right person and don't live by the Bible, right, it's not going to work.
Yep.
And if you did everything wrong because you didn't know any better and now you're saved and you start living by the Bible, it'll work.
Yep. Amen.
There are unsaved people with good marriages because they're doing what the Bible says married people ought to do.
Yep.
And there are saved people with terrible marriages because they won't obey the Bible.
Right.
So the main thing is not finding the right person, it's being the right person.
Yeah.
And that's the key to all of it, really. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank You for this chapter in the Bible and the truths that we find in the Bible. And Lord, I pray that You'd help all these young men, all these young ladies that are seemingly so dedicated to You in their lives. We thank You for it. We pray, God, that You'd help them to find the spouse that they can live with and enjoy life with, serve You together. Pray, God, Your blessing upon them. Help them, Lord, not to make a mistake, and not to rebel against You, but to walk in the way, walk in the light, and allow Your full and rich blessing upon their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.